state-to-state properties.
This is Ted DiBiase, the million-dollar man.
Hey, this is Bob Backlund.
Hey, everyone, this is Rick Steiner.
This is the Honky Tonk Man, the greatest WWE Intercontinental Champion of all time.
This is your wrestling show, Ottawa.
Heck, they could use you guys over in WWE.
You're listening to the greatest wrestling show in the whole wide world.
This is Wrestling with Ideas.
Welcome inside the CKDJ studios for Wrestling with Ideas right here on CKDJ 107.9, Ottawa's new music. I'm the man they call Gibby, Zach McGibbon. Join me once again this week. He is the music man, CD Scully.
How's it going, Gibby?
Oh, it's going good. Glad to have you back on. Yeah. We got a busy week of wrestling to discuss, so let's just go straight into it. And I think the first thing that I really want to talk about, which I feel is pretty important in terms of how wrestling could look in the States for the next couple of years, is the fallout from the Strong Style Evolved show that New Japan Pro Wrestling put together in Long Beach, California. It took place at the Waltier Pyramid.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't see all the card, but you saw the big match. I saw the big match.
Yeah.
Golden Lovers versus Young Bucks.
Yeah. Before we talk about that, though, I just wanted to get another thing off. The first match had Roppongi 3K against SoCal Uncensored.
Yep.
I was listening to Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com.
Yep.
And his Strong Style Revolved review. And he had made one of the points. I'm going to be talking a little bit over the course of this segment about some of the points that he made. One of the few points that I did agree with that he made was Christopher Daniels' moonsault, and how I think he had said Christopher Daniels' worst moonsault could beat anybody else's best moonsault.
Oh, it's a great moonsault.
Yeah.
Love Christopher Daniels' moonsault.
Christopher Daniels. I didn't know Christopher Daniels was still wrestling, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, he won the Ring of Honor World Championship recently. Yeah. Last year, I believe.
Yeah. David Finlay. Moving on to the next match. David Finlay. Man. I'm a huge fan of Finlay.
Yeah. You like Finlay.
I love Finlay.
The original Finlay.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of David Finlay.
Interesting. Now, how come? Is it the look? Is it just the way
he wrestles? I think it's everything about him, really.
Oh, wow.
Okay. He doesn't. Because I would have liked to see something with the Irish stuff.
Yep.
With him, like he had with his father.
Yep.
There's nothing there.
But I think he wants to. You also want to make yourself stand out as well.
Yeah. But if you have something like Mil Máscaras and Del Rio.
Yeah.
There's something there, right?
There's a little bit of similarities. Well, when Del Rio was masked, especially.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what similarities, other than the name, are there between Finlay and David
Finlay? Not much.
Exactly.
He does have a bit of a caveman look. Have you ever seen Trevor Lee?
Yes. Yeah, he looks just like
Trevor Lee.
He does.
But Dave Finlay Jr., He's been a part of their dojo for a while.
Yep.
And one of the things I was interested in was Juice Robinson, flamboyant Juice Robinson in this match.
Yeah.
He's really improved from his time from NXT over to New Japan.
Oh my God.
And
I just realized who Juice Robinson was. I remember him in NXT.
Yep. He was doing the global protest thing.
Yeah.
He made that gimmick.
You know who he made his debut against in FCW? Leo Kruger.
Oh, interesting.
Adam Rose. That's a classic Florida championship wrestling.
This match was fun. The thing is with this entire card, I don't want to go too in-depth on the card because there was just a couple of things. There's a couple of things that I really want to point out through this card. Like, the overall show I thought was good.
It was long.
There was a lot of matches that I felt went on way too long. Like, most of the matches here are more than 10 minutes long, with the exception being the Juice Robinson-David Finlay match versus Haruki Goto and Gato. Japan versus Chaos.
The Golden Lovers match, which is what we're going to talk about now, I guess, yeah?
Yeah.
The Golden Lovers match.
I want to talk about Jay White versus Hangman Page.
Yes.
There's been a lot of talk about Jay White because he recently came back from Excursion and now he has Switchblade Jay White. And so far, a lot of people are very mixed on him. Some aren't as high on him as others are in terms of his matches. If you watch his match with Tanahashi at Wrestle Kingdom, you would have been pretty disappointed with the way the match turned out.
Right.
At that time, I thought, you know what? Tanahashi is battling a shoulder injury. And the fact, too, is, you know, Jay White's coming back from excursion. It's a really big match so soon when he came back. You know, I felt that the cards weren't in place for him to really do well.
No.
His match with Omega was was okay. It was probably the best of the three matches he's had, the three big-time matches.
Yeah.
Beating Omega for the IWGP US title. Yeah.
Since he's gotten back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then now this match with Hangman Page. I thought the first, like, 10, 15 minutes of this match were really boring.
Yeah.
To me, Hangman was the real star of this. The problem really with having this match so late in the card is both guys aren't over enough to be in the semi-main event.
No.
And which is unfortunate because I do like Jay. I don't dislike Jay White, but I don't think he's as bad as people make him out to be. Some of the moves he performed in that match were super crisp. Some of the suplexes. But I will say Hangman Page very much led the way for the rest of the match and really picked things up. Especially that shooting star shoulder breaker thing that he did.
Yeah.
That was pretty ridiculous. And I know he's known to do that.
Yeah.
I thought the match overall was okay. It was fine. It just, you know, I thought White had some really nice looking moves. It's just he's slower when it comes to his
in-ring stuff. Reminded me of a Randy Orton match.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's like Randy Orton's very slow, methodical. I'm worried that's what Jay White is doing, but a little too slow, too methodical, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the next match I want to talk about as well is the Golden Lovers match. Golden Lovers versus the Young Bucks. Young Bucks.
One of the... How many offshoots of Bullet Club are there in NJPW right now?
Offshoots?
Yeah.
I think it's just the Elite and Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Unless you... I mean, there's so much, you know... There's so much chaos, no pun intended, within Bullet Club.
Yeah.
I think it's just... I don't think there's a lot of offshoots. I think it's just... It's a battle for a control sort of deal because obviously the main storyline right now is Cody Rhodes has said that Bullet Club is fine but Bullet Club is mine sort of deal.
Yeah.
And is Kenny Omega going to be the true leader?
Who do you think, Kenny Omega or Cody Rhodes? Who do you think would who do you want to be leader of Bullet Club going forward? And B, who do you think would do a better job as leader?
Cody. In terms of like character wise, Cody. In terms of wrestler wise, Omega. By a huge landslide.
Yeah.
Because Omega is just on a whole different level in terms of in-ring ability. Sorry, Jim Cornette. and he's like, again, I really like Cornette. I like listening to his stuff, but he's got to move on from the stuff that's clearly bothering him about his dealings with Omega in the past. But yeah, that Golden Lovers versus Young Bucks match was incredible. Definitely the best tag match of the year so far. Yeah. I wouldn't go as far and say match of the year.
Well, I mean, it's only March.
I know. There's still plenty of time. But, you know, we also had that Andrade Cien Almas versus Johnny Gargano match at NXT TakeOver. Which
I would say that is definitely
higher
on my
better.
Like, personally, that's higher on my list.
Me too.
Than the Young Lovers.
Young Lovers.
Golden Lovers, Young
Lovers.
Now
you sound like Jim Ross.
Okay.
Because he said that during
the
show.
Did he say Young Lovers? Yeah. Well, apart
from... He said a lot of things during the show. I guess we'll talk about that too. Well, Jim Ross was not very good.
There was... forgive me for my ignorance here. Who was the other commentator?
Josh Barnett. UFC heavyweight.
There was a part of the show where Josh Barnett, I think it said, on air... We'll talk about the production as well, maybe, if you want.
Yeah, sure.
This whole thing. But I think Josh Barnett, I had heard him say, yeah, Jim. Yeah, JR or whatever. They really need to get the F out of the ring.
Yep. Let it slip all over the air. Yeah, I mean, I thought the commentary for this was a little lackluster.
Yeah. And if JR couldn't survive this,
is this
a potential red flag for WWE to maybe pull him from the greatest Royal Rumble. Because it's not going to be a 30-man Royal Rumble. It's not going to be a 40. 50. It's a 50-man. This Royal Rumble will literally be 2 hours long.
Yeah, they're going all out with this Royal Rumble, too. Like, trying to bring in everybody. I believe they said that King and Lawler are going to be involved with this as well.
King and Lawler?
Sorry, Kane and JR are going to be involved with this. And here's the thing with Jim Ross. I think he's...
He's got his... This is going to sound really bad of me, but he's got his uses.
Yeah. I don't think he's that good at commentary anymore.
I don't think he's anymore.
I think his real, like... When you listen to old Jim Ross calls... He's very passionate.
Right.
You can tell, you can hear the passion. It's hard to really get that passion
now
from this show anyways, because I don't think he really follows the New Japan product.
Well, if you look at what he said about Mysterio, he said, oh, he's out with a right bicep tear, right tricep tear, or something bad.
Yeah, something bad. It's just like, you know, I think the thing that made me a little annoyed with this is like, you could tell that there wasn't a lot of research put in. You know what I mean? And there were notes there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's just the annoying part to me. Especially being a part of a commentary team for wrestling promotion. Like, I like to be prepared with notes before the shows. So that way, I at least have an idea of who these guys are, where they're from, where they're trained from. That way, I don't go over the air and just sound like a schmuck. Right?
Yeah. I mean, the whole show, another point that I... Here's one of the points that I don't agree with Sean Ross Sapp's post
Ross show or post Sean Style of all show. Yeah, post show.
Yeah, he had made the point that NJPW's production is better than WWE's. That this show's production.
Did he say it was better than WWE's?
He did.
Oh, I disagree with that.
Yeah,
it's very good production though. Don't get me wrong. If you watch
this show or NJPW in general?
NJPW's production team, not AXS's production team.
No, and I agree with that as well. Yeah. But no, he had said that Strong Style Evolved had better production than WWE.
Yeah. I think it's just there's so much bitterness over about Kevin Dunn and his zoom-ins on kicks and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, his stuff... The stuff that he does for Zooms and that sort of deal, I think there's just a lot of bad blood. But in terms of overall look of a show, lighting, presentation, you know, that sort of stuff, I think it's well produced.
Do you see NJPW going with their own production team for...
Moving forward?
No, for their show at the Cow Palace.
Potentially, if it's not involved with AXS.
Yeah.
Potentially. Which I don't think is going to be the case. I think AXS wants to get involved with that as well. So even if I wanted, you know, the New Japan Pro Wrestling production team to get involved in...
Which I think most NJPW fans want.
Yeah. Well, especially with the way that this was shot, I think they all want the New Japan production team involved.
Right.
So, I mean, overall, I thought this show was solid. I mean, if there's one match you have to go back and watch, it's definitely Golden Lovers versus the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
That was a great match. The selling, funny enough, of all things, and this was fantastic.
Well, I don't know which one of the Jacksons it is, but they are definitely one of the better strike sellers in modern history.
Nick Jackson?
Yes. Yeah.
He's very good at strikes. I like his strikes.
Yeah. Because you have, I don't know.
Just something about his strikes that you really liked.
Yeah.
And one of the things, too, I liked, although I thought Ibushi was not at his strongest point during this. There were a couple, he had a slip on the moonsault that he did. Yeah. When they were doing that duo moonsault deal, I believe it was Omega that landed on Ibushi's head. Do you remember that spot?
Yeah.
That was pretty nasty. I mean, overall, I thought the show was fun. It would have been cool to see what the Rey Mysterio versus Jushin Thunder Liger match would have been had Rey not been hurt.
Do you think that match happens at the Cow Palace?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I think there's
because that would draw a lot of the U.S. crowds.
Yeah. And even, I mean, they're in California, right? You could also bring in that Latino fan base.
619.
Yeah.
Because it's in San Francisco,
I think. Well, 619 San Diego, I believe. road.
I
believe that's San Diego. I could be wrong, though. Now we got to search this up.
Yeah.
Either way, Mysterio would attract a big Latino fan base.
It is.
San Diego?
Yep.
Crap. So I'm sure they'll want him on that show as well. Yeah. And it's interesting how they set that up, too. They've got different potential matchups, a return against Jushin Thunder Liger. Maybe he goes for the title against Will Ospreay. Or maybe because Marty Scurll attacked, you know, both Liger and Ospreay during the match, or sorry, after the match, that maybe, and Mysterio, that maybe Mysterio looks at Skrull as a sort of a revenge sort of deal.
Yeah.
So interesting how they pulled that off there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, one match you definitely want to go back to is the Golden Lovers match.
Right.
Otherwise, there really isn't much else to go back to.
No.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the post results from Raw and SmackDown. Sure. We'll talk some of the big stuff that came out of that. In terms of the new participants into the Women's Battle Royal, the announcement of Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, all that good stuff and more. You're listening to Wrestling With Ideas right here on CKDJ 107.9, Ottawa's new music. American males, American males, American males, American males.
Daddy! I love about the stuff and the girls. Daddy! Just can't get enough.
Hey, this is Buck Bagwell, and you're listening to Wrestling with Ideas.
Welcome back inside the CKDJ studios. This is Wrestling with Ideas right here on CKDJ 107.9, Ottawa's new music. I'm the man they call Gibby, Zach McGibbon, and with me is the music man, CD Scully, and Colin. Well, let's talk of some of the WWE results from this past week. Let's talk some of the bigger ones. A lot to talk about in terms of that one. Let's first come out of Raw. And let's talk about John Cena versus The Undertaker.
Okay.
Which hasn't been officially announced yet, by the way. But it's more than likely, if not going to happen.
Yeah.
So this week, after Cena cut his promo last week saying that The Undertaker is a coward and he wants him to do something, which sounded something straight out of Spaceballs.
Yeah.
He fights Kane this week. And this match was actually better than I thought it was going to be, considering I had traumatic nightmares from their previous feud.
Oh, my God. That was...
Which essentially killed the career of Zack Ryder and any hope he had of being a over-mid-card guy after he won the U.S. title. Remember when Kane pushed Ryder off the stage when he was in a wheelchair?
I remember seeing that live and thinking, what the hell is going on?
It's just... not the way for a writer's career to build off of. And so I was having some traumatic nightmares from this because A, both of these guys are older, and B, just from that feud.
Yeah.
So this match was actually much better than what it could have been. A lot of taunting of The Undertaker in this match by Cena.
Yeah.
And he did that dead man rise. He did
the
throat slash, the rolling back of the eyes sort of deal.
Yeah. I like seeing John Cena like this.
A little more serious.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't... See, he's been serious for a while, but I like seeing the sort of attitude John Cena.
Yeah.
Because you haven't seen this since Ruthless Aggression.
Right.
So...
Where he shows a little bit more Ruthless Aggression.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is an interesting feud, the way they're building this Cena-Undertaker match.
Seems like he has more of a personal investment in it than anything else.
Yeah, which is interesting. Now, are you personally, like, let's say none of this build-up for the match happened and we're just kind of in this current state. Would a John Cena versus Undertaker match interest you in 2018?
No.
No. And how come?
Because I am not, like, if... I'm honestly not a huge fan of The Undertaker only doing WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like Undertaker still has something that he can contribute.
Yeah.
But I don't know anymore.
Now, let's head back to before WrestleMania 30. Undertaker still has
If this happens at WrestleMania 30,
yeah, Undertaker still has a streak. I'm a fan of it.
With Undertaker still has a streak.
Yes.
Now, here's a question that I have for you.
Okay.
Let's say this happens at WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
And you have Brock Lesnar or John Cena.
Yeah.
Who do you want to break? Assuming Undertaker is going to lose a streak at 30 either way.
Yeah.
Who do you, if you're creative, who do you break Undertaker's streak with?
John Cena or Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, obviously, with the benefit of hindsight, you get a better picture of where the Brock Lesnar storyline goes.
But just straight up.
Probably Cena.
Yeah.
If I was really had to choose.
But then that would get him the Roman Reigns
treatment.
Hate.
Yeah. Maybe that's a good thing, though, for them, because that means all the heat is off Roman, and Roman gets a better
look. But the heat's been on Cena for 15 years.
But Cena could take more heat. Cena could take more heat.
Yeah.
And Roman doesn't have to worry about being the chosen golden boy.
But he's not been the chosen golden boy for since like right after the Shield broke up.
Reigns.
When he first had his run as champion.
He's very much been the chosen
Is he still now though?
Yes. Very much.
Really?
Is. Oh yeah.
Do you see him winning?
If he's main evented four WrestleManias in the past.
Okay.
And he's main evented four straight WrestleManias, and he's going to main event this one. People need to stop thinking it's going to be Rousey. It's not going to be Rousey. No. It's going to be Reigns and Lesnar as the main event. That's what they're building to. And Reigns, they did this at WrestleMania 32. They put him in the main event against Triple H when he shouldn't have been. If that got the main event at WrestleMania 32, this is going to get the main event as well. Even if Rousey's on the card.
Yeah.
You know, I understand you want to create debate. And obviously, this is a radio show. We want to create debate as well. But there's no debate about this. Reigns is going to main event again. Whether people like it or not. Right? It's for the title. And it's at Mania. And Vince likes to
It's end for the Universal. Yeah, okay, sure. It's for the Universal title.
Yes.
Before this WrestleMania, it was last WrestleMania that Brock Lesnar had won the title.
Yeah.
How many title defenses in that span between last WrestleMania and this upcoming WrestleMania has Brock Lesnar fought compared to Roman Reigns? Because Roman Reigns, I know Brock Lesnar hasn't been on, what with all the UFC stuff. But still, I don't think Brock Lesnar deserves to be a WWE champion anymore.
Oh, no, I agree with that.
And I don't, if it was Roman Reigns versus somebody else, sure, it could be the main event. Yeah. I don't like Brock Lesnar main eventing WrestleMania.
So you don't like the idea of Brock being in the main event?
Well, I don't like Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns.
As a match.
Ever.
Okay. I actually didn't mind their initial matchup at WrestleMania 31. I thought that matchup, even before Rollins was tagging in, was actually a banner match. But the thing is, to me, there's no doubt in my mind that Reigns is going to main event. No doubt in my mind. I'm 99% sure Reigns is
going to. As much as it hurts me to say, I know that that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Personally,
You hate the thought of it being the main event.
I hate the thought of it being the main event. I hate Roman Reigns. I am not a fan of Roman Reigns whatsoever.
Okay.
Brock Lesnar, sure. Mm-hmm. Is he a main event anymore? No. Not in WWE, at least.
You think he's lost his main event appeal?
I think so, just because, he's kind of that one trick pony that shows up with Paul Heyman.
So he's been exposed essentially.
More or less, okay. I feel.
Yeah, and so people won't want to get invested into him anymore, right?
Right.
So, I mean, he's very much an occasional wrestler, right? He'll show up every once in a while. I still think that's going to main event though. That's just gonna.
Yeah.
Let's talk about on the SmackDown side of things. Daniel Bryan's in-ring return. That is going to be taking place at WrestleMania. It's going to be a part of a tag match with Shane McMahon as his tag partner versus Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. Now, I don't know if you've seen Twitter recently.
I have.
Have you seen Owens change his Twitter handle?
Kevin Steen.
Yeah.
And then El Generico is alive.
Totally unrelated note. El Generico is alive. The timing couldn't be more perfect.
Do you think that they bring that Sami Zayn brings the El Generico gimmick to WrestleMania?
No.
No?
Nope. Not at all.
Nope.
Not at all. I think they're just kind of playing off the fact that they're released.
Yeah.
Did you see, by the way, Pro Wrestling Tees did a sale
of
El Generico merchandise? The timing, I mean, just perfect timing with Sami Zayn leaving and El Generico all of a sudden coming back. What a shocker, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
it's almost like this was all planned.
What? No. Don't get that's. I mean, I like to wrestle with ideas here on this show, but I don't want to go crazy with these ideas.
But there's just a small, like, I have a gut feeling that the whole thing has been planned. Who do you think gets the pinfall over Brian and Owens, or Brian and McMahon? Because let's face it.
Brian's going to get the win.
Brian's going to get the win?
Oh, yeah.
And then McMahon, and then Owens and Zayn are going to, quote unquote, stay off of SmackDown?
And move to Raw.
I like that.
There you go. So, I mean,
smart. That is because it never said anything about Raw. It's just SmackDown.
Like, they're off the SmackDown
Superstar
roster.
Shakeup. Raw after WrestleMania.
They're going to show up on Raw, and I think they'll come in and revitalize that Raw tag team division.
They'll pull a Nexus. They'll pull a Nexus.
Oh, could you imagine? That'd be cool. But I think
Cena versus The Undertaker fallout, because they came out against Cena. The Nexus came out against Cena. Owens and Zayn.
I could, you know, maybe if they wanted to. And really build up some heat, I guess.
That would be interesting, actually, now that I think about
it. Cena leading a stable of Owens and Zayn?
No. Owens and Zayn co-leading Nexus, like a new Nexus.
Like a new stable?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Who would you put in there? Like, let's say five people.
In a new Nexus? Does that include Owens and Zayn?
No.
No, okay. Five people. Oh, that's tough.
The Club.
The Club?
The Club, all three of them. Balor, Gallows, and Anderson.
Okay.
I would say.
Then you just have your own little WWE Bullet Club.
Yeah, but it's not the WWE Bullet Club, though. It's
Bayonet the Bayonet Club?
Sure. Sure.
But instead of the, you know, rifles and stuff that they have on the t-shirts, it's just massive bayonets.
Yeah. And then with, like, the Nexus thing in the middle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Look like a superhero. Look like Aquaman, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe something. I think Brian would probably get the victory. To me, the question, though, is we saw recently, it was announced by WWE that Shane McMahon's got diverticulitis.
Yeah. Now, I'm not too sure. I know that Brock Lesnar had this. How long ago?
This was before he joined WWE, so I think 2009, 2010.
Okay. What exactly is it?
Oh, it's something in the, the intestines.
Okay.
It's actually really bad.
Yeah.
Brock had to get a bunch of his colon removed in order to get it treated. And that's why he couldn't fight in UFC at a high level. And that's why he left.
But then he's coming back.
He's much more healed up, and Brock Lesnar is a freak of nature. Plus, you know, he tried to get away with it with steroids, but that's neither here nor there. I just think with this Brian match, obviously that sounds like to me that Brian is going to do the majority of the work in the match because Shane's hurt. You know what I mean? So
that's, you see Owens and Zayn as a tag team going forward?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they revitalized that Raw tag team division. Even though
they were originally going to have a match against themselves.
Like, yeah. I think so. Yeah. Because Raw is different storylines, remember?
Right.
So they could just try and find a way. Maybe they have this bonding moment over getting fired together and they become a tag team. Could you imagine those Cesaro and Sheamus versus Owens and Zayn?
Oh, my God.
That'd be a fun match. That would be a real fun match.
Yeah.
So I think that's the storyline direction they're going to go with it.
Yeah.
With that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this greatest Royal Rumble show. It's really getting big. It really is. We'll talk some of the latest match announcements for this show. You're listening to Wrestling with Ideas right here on CKDJ 107.9, Ottawa's new music.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, and you are listening to Wrestling with Ideas.
Welcome back inside the CKDJ studios. This is Wrestling With Ideas right here on CKDJ 107.9, Ottawa's new music. I'm the man they call Gibby, Zach McGibbon, of course, is the show that challenges your thoughts and wrestles with ideas. Alongside me, I've got the music man, CD Scully, and Colin. This show is getting interesting. I'm not talking, about this radio show.
Well,
because
I mean,
it's always been interesting, I think.
Yeah.
But this new show that's been announced by WWE that's taking place in Saudi Arabia, the Greatest Royal Rumble Show.
Here's, before we talk about the card specifically, because the card looks great, don't get me wrong.
Card looks awesome.
But the one thing that makes me extremely mad about this whole thing is the fact that they're doing it in Saudi Arabia. Now, the only reason for this is because of their backwards laws against women.
Yep. They only recently just allowed women to have driver's licenses.
I think it was about a month ago that they announced that law.
It's definitely, way too recent for it to,
Yeah.
To have.
Because here we go again with WWE being, quote, progressive towards the women's revolution.
Yeah.
You have the Moolah Battle Royal that wouldn't have changed unless, it wouldn't have changed if Snickers hadn't spoken up.
Right.
And now you have them going to a country where, quote, every single championship match will be defended.
Right.
What titles aren't there? The women's titles.
From SmackDown and Raw, that's correct.
From SmackDown and Raw.
Unbelievable.
I don't know what to say anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, obviously you could tell that Saudi Arabia is paying them a boatload of money to come over and do a show. And I think that's why WWE is motivated to go there.
It feels like more than anything now, WWE is becoming more of a cash grab than anything else.
Well, also too, I mean, I think they're in a good position now to be able to take bids from cities where cities are like, hey, we want you to do a pay-per-view here. I mean, seeing that already with Australia.
Yeah, the Australia thing I have no problem with. It's the fact that they're taking however much money if they're being quote-unquote progressive with the women's revolution.
You just hate that they're portraying an image but doing other things that go against that image, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't like the idea that like they're trying to portray themselves as we're for women wrestlers, that sort of deal. But then they go to Saudi Arabia, which they only recently changed the laws for driver's licenses, and they have a lot of laws that, let's face it, they practically discriminate against women in that company.
Well, or that it's country, not practically, country. They do.
I mean,
full on.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, so it's like it's one of those deals, right? It's not a good situation, right? And I'm sure WWE wants to avoid that at all costs, especially with the whole deal with Moolah and the whole controversy that came out of that. I'm sure they want to try and avoid that as well. I mean,
it's a good thing WWE doesn't have Snickers sponsoring this.
I know, right?
Anyway, let's get to
to this card. Other than having no women's matches on the card. And only recently with Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks being the first women's match, but they had to be like fully covered up, right?
Yeah.
I think that was around last year.
Yeah.
So again, it's like not the best look for the company to go to that sort of place where, again, it's like the laws for women are very unfavorable, if not downright discrimination, right? So it's not a good look for them. Saying that, though, they are getting paid a bunch of money, and they said, you know what, there's a lot of money involved in this. They're having their show at the
King Jeddah.
King Abdullah International Stadium
in Jeddah.
And the stadium is massive.
How many people?
62,241 is the capacity for this stadium. So they definitely want this to be a huge, huge show. And I'm sure they'll make a ton of money. Not only are they probably getting paid by the government for this, it's a monarchy that's involved. The Saudi General Sports Authority is a sponsor. So they're paying them a lot of money. Plus they'll probably get some good money off of ticket sales as well.
Yeah.
one of the things that's interesting about this show is all the title matches, except for the women's titles, are on the line in this. Yeah. So everyone, WWE Championship match, Universal Championship, Intercontinental, United States, Raw Tag Team, SmackDown Tag Team, Cruiserweight Championship. Now, one of the championships that's not listed there is the United Kingdom Championship. Could that be a potential later on addition to the show?
I hope so, because I would love to see Pete Dunne on the same card with John Cena and AJ Styles. Because Pete Dunne...
Even put them in the Royal Rumble.
Have him win the Royal Rumble.
Or have him win the Royal Rumble. That'd be something.
Now, here's another question that they probably have something planned for this, but they haven't said anything. What happens to the person that wins the Royal Rumble, this 50-man Royal Rumble?
That's a good point. Is it just an attraction? Are they going to get a future title shot?
Thing's for sure.
It is part of the broadcast schedule for the WWE Network, so people will be watching this.
One thing's for sure. They better get, a couple $100,000 pay raise for the person that wins. Because 50 guys.
Yeah.
Is the ring going to be bigger, too? What's going on here?
Maybe do, a World War III sort of deal with WCW. You have three rings
not war games, but three.
Three rings.
But no, the size of three rings, but no middle ropes.
Ooh, so just one massive ring.
Yeah.
That'd be something.
Just for the Royal Rumble, though. Ooh,
hit the mic. Yeah, that would be something, though.
I would love to see that, but that's probably not going to happen.
No, probably not. So the matches that have been announced, we are going to have, obviously, the greatest Royal Rumble match, 50-man Royal Rumble, which is ridiculous.
JR is going to have fun with that.
Oh, I know, right? We have the Intercontinental Championship match, which is a ladder match. I wonder how they're going to do a ladder match in an open stadium, but who knows?
I never thought of that.
Yeah, where are they going to hang this? They've done it before. WrestleMania, you kind of understand because they do.
They might do a TNA X Division type deal.
Oh, and just have it strapped along together. You know, I could totally see them doing that. But because I don't know how big, how far out they're going to go with the stage design, right? Because obviously with WrestleMania, they had the totem poles.
I feel like with however much money they're getting paid, they're going to do something big with this. They're probably going to do a WrestleMania-esque style stage design.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that happening.
Or they might do a flip side and have it be every pay-per-view from 2012 to 2014, where it was basically the Raw stage design.
That could be something too. Maybe they'll just do the WWE bigger. Live. Maybe they just do the WWE Live entrance. I could totally see them doing that as well.
Just having this small...
Yeah, the small little doorway or whatever.
Well, hey, that'll bring more people in.
That's true. Open up some more seats. That could be something. We have Cesaro and Sheamus.
Just open up the entire arena and just have no stage.
No stage whatsoever. Just a ring.
Just like a...
Old AWA shows back in the 80s. Yeah, baseball diamond and all they walk through the... Oh, maybe that'd be... Oh, that they could do that. That could be fun.
Anyways.
Cesaro and Sheamus will take on the Hardy Boys for the WWE Raw Tag Team Championships.
I'm very excited for this.
Now, that could be a fun match.
The one thing that they need to do is add some sort of stipulation, though.
Other than for the titles?
Yeah.
You're talking a last man standing sort of stipulation?
A last man...
I'm not saying that's what it should be. I'm just saying that's a type of stipulation. Yeah.
That would be interesting, though. A last man standing elimination thing, maybe?
Ooh, maybe. Maybe create a new match type in this. That could be fun. Yeah. We have also the announcement of John Cena versus Triple H, the first time they faced off against each other in a one-on-one match since 2010, I believe.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
8 years, and they're going to clash at... Greatest Royal Rumble. I'm interested to see how this match would do and how the in-ring quality will be. But they are really going all out for this show. And obviously, we have a ton more title matches on this card as well.
Who do you say?
This is very much a WrestleMania type show.
Yeah. Who do you think for the Cruiserweight Championship match?
I think it's going to be Cedric Alexander versus somebody.
Yeah. Who do you want to see? A Roderick Strong, Johnny Gargano?
Ooh, Johnny Gargano.
Johnny Gargano would be good.
Now that you brought his name up, I would love to see Johnny Gargano.
And then Tommaso Ciampa comes back out.
Yeah, and just...
No. Tommaso Ciampa comes back out and makes it... And he has a chair, let's say. And it looks like he's going to mess with, like, let's say Johnny Gargano wins the championship from Cedric Alexander, assuming that both of those guys are going to be in this match.
Yeah.
Johnny Gargano wins the title. He's celebrating. Tommaso Ciampa comes out. Cedric Alexander is still in the ring.
Yeah.
He makes it look like he's going to attack Johnny Gargano. But then all of a sudden, they both smile at each other. And then they both start beating on Alexander. This is a perfect opportunity not only to reunite DIY, mm-hmm. but to have Johnny Gargano turn heel.
Wow, okay. Oh, man, he would get a ton of heel heat. I just think, though, he's just...
Johnny Gargano, that sounds like a heel name.
I think he's just got so much babyface, you know, momentum right now that I think it'd be very risky to turn him heel at that point.
Well...
But you know what? That is
WWE an idea. WWE has a thing for risky heel turns.
That's true. That is true. I mean, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. Anything can happen in WWE, as they say, right? That could be that could
land
be
of opportunity.
The Cruiserweight Championship, but
yeah.
Also, what could be the WWE Championship match? What could be the?
I would love to see Shinsuke Nakamura versus Daniel Bryan.
If they booked that for that show, oh, I think they've got my 999. Because
let's face it, Shinsuke is most. I have. Very strong feeling that Shinsuke Nakamura will beat AJ Styles.
And win the WWE title?
Yes.
I have a strong feeling about that too.
Shinsuke, because that sets it up perfectly. Shinsuke yep. versus Daniel Bryan.
And having such a big show.
And then going back to what we said earlier about Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn going to Raw.
Yeah.
Have one of them be involved in the Universal Championship match.
Right.
Maybe put Sami Zayn over finally.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, he's way... overdue.
Yeah.
Excuse the pun there.
but with that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this new American Football League, the Alliance of American Football.
You brought a special guest on.
Yeah, we're bringing segment. A special guest in there. He's waiting on standby. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll get him set up. You're listening to Wrestling With Ideas right here on CKDJ 107.9, Ottawa's new music.
Hey, everyone. This is CCO Pierre Caldwell, and you're listening to Wrestling With Ideas at...
We're not the Mounties. We're handsome, we're brave, we're strong. We're not the Mounties, cause we enforce the law. You can try to run, but you can never hide.
Welcome back inside the CKDJ studios. This is Wrestling With Ideas right here on CKDJ 107.9, Ottawa's new music. I, of course, am the man they call Gibby, Zach McGibbon. And, of course, I've got the music man, CD Scully, across from me. But joining me for this segment, which is an interesting segment, it seems sort of familiar because we talked about the XFL recently. And now we're going to talk about the AAF, Alliance of American Football. I, of course, have with me Mike Sarkisian. Mike, who would have thought we would have had you back on?
Didn't we just finish talking about the XFL?
Yeah, I know, right? We went a whole hour into the XFL, I remember.
And now we're here.
And now we're
and
at
now
this
we're
point.
Here.
Well, I figured we'd bring you on. You're our sports expert, specifically our football expert. And who knew we needed a football expert into our wrestling show? But apparently we do.
Who knew you needed him a second time?
Who knew, right? But the reason why we're bringing this up... The reason why we're bringing this up is the Alliance of American Football. You may be thinking, yeah, another new football league. What does this have to do with McMahon other than competition? Well, the person that has co-founded this league is Charlie Ebersol. And Charlie Ebersol is the son of Dick Ebersol, who's close friends with Vince McMahon and helped with the initial launch of the XFL way back when in 2001.
Should also be noted that Dick Ebersol was the head producer of WWF Saturday Night's main event.
There you go, way well. Back when.
Wow.
Way back in the 80s. And so, yeah, amazing just how things just turned out. And here's the best part about the Alliance of American Football. This seems way more planned than the XFL, the AAF.
Well, if you're talking planning and Vince McMahon, when the XFL first was a thing,
yeah,
you can't put planning and Vince McMahon
in the same sentence.
Yeah, because McMahon just kind of went right into it.
Yeah,
well, that's the XFL. That's what McMahon does with anything, though.
Yeah.
It's not just with the XFL. It's with WWF, XFL, WWE.
Here's the thing that's interesting about this. There's actually some remnants of the old XFL that's coming in. Obviously, Dick Ebersol being involved. But apparently, Tom Veit, the original general manager of the XFL's Orlando Rage, is among the AAF's executives.
Ooh.
And also,
that'll be interesting.
Also, an interesting note is just some of the players involved and some of the big people that are involved as well.
Yeah.
So we got Charlie Ebersol, co-founder, obviously. CEO. Bill Polian is involved in this. Troy Polamalu.
As the great Pat McAfee would say. Yeah.
Polamalu, just looking at you.
Luscious hair.
J.K. McKay, head of football operations. Tom Veit, we mentioned earlier. Hines Ward is a players relations executive. Jared Allen is also a players relations executive and an investor into this new football league. And Justin Tuck, a member of Player Engagement's Board of Advisors.
That's four big names, four retired names from the NFL.
Yeah.
That Pittsburgh are, Steelers. Most of it's Pittsburgh.
Hines Ward and Polamalu.
Yeah. And it's just that they're invested into this league and none of them were really anywhere. You didn't hear any of them when the XFL came out that they were wanted to get involved with the XFL, but all of a sudden they're involved with the AAF.
Yeah.
Well, they had nothing to... These guys, when the XFL came out, they were probably just starting.
Some of them were still
most of the players were still my age, basically, when the XFL came out.
Yeah. But I'm talking about with the new XFL coming out. You know,
right.
They're not...
Yeah.
That's kind of where I was going with it, but yeah, I know what you mean. It's just, I just want to say it flew right under the radar.
Yeah, it flew under everybody's radar.
Like
the wrestling fans that are into the XFL, the football fans that are into football, obviously. It just flew under everybody's nose.
You messaged me.
Yeah.
XFL, basically, the XFL has already competition. And I'm like, yeah, okay, the NFL.
Yeah.
No. And he's like, no. The Alliance of American Football. And I Googled it, and it's just, I'm like, where did this come from?
Well, the rules are already in place, eh? They've already figured out how to make the games quicker and that sort of deal.
I haven't heard about that. What's going on with this?
So here are the rules that they announced at the press conference. So teams will have 50 players on each roster, with some of these players selected by a territorial draft.
Okay.
Telecast will feature no television timeouts and 60% fewer commercials, with the league aiming for an approximate real-time game length of 150 minutes. So that's 2.5 hours, down from just over the 180 minutes in the NFL. All teams must attempt 2-point conversions after each touchdown. There will be no extra point kicks.
The kicker position is dying.
It really is.
It is. And
speaking of the kicker position dying, there's no more kickoffs. All possessions will begin on each team's own 25-yard line, the same as touchbacks in the NFL and NCAA. The team that would be on defense can keep the ball in lieu of an offside kick.
Onside kick.
Yeah. Onside kick.
That's what
it sounded like offside, didn't I? By attempting a scrimmage play from their own 35-yard line and gaining at least 10 yards. The play clock will run only 30 seconds, 10 seconds shorter than in the NFL. Two coaches' challenges per team are the only replays. Outside organizations would handle head safety protocols.
So no replay. That's what I'm getting at. Two coaches' challenge per team are the only replays?
Yeah, there's no league replays. I know
that could get messy.
That could get messy.
That was really messy.
When I heard that, I was like, ooh, that could be really bad, especially if you don't have. But I would assume, because in the NFL, you can't throw a challenge in the final 2 minutes, right?
No.
So I would assume they would take that away and let the coaches challenge with the final last 2 minutes.
Oh, it's
in order to make up for that.
It's just the fact, let's say a play like, out of this kind of mind, the San Antonio Holmes catch from the Super Bowl a few years ago. Yeah. What if that play happens in the AAF?
Yeah,
I'm used to saying that.
Yeah,
and then they rule it no touchdown
and
no more challenges in that team's pocket.
Yeah,
all of a sudden you lose the game. That's why I think it could get messy. There's obviously a whole bunch of other situations that could happen.
Right,
where it could get really bad. But like having no replays other than these basically four coaches challenges in a game, that could get ugly.
Yeah.
For both sides.
It could get pretty bad.
It almost seems to me like, I mean, with my limited knowledge of the indoor football stuff, the indoor football leagues, that these rules are pretty similar to that. Because I don't think they have full on, I don't believe that they have kickoffs either.
I think one league does.
One league does, but yeah.
they kick it, it hits the net in the back, and then
I think that
I mean, if you consider onside kicks, kickoffs in the arena ball.
Onside kicks and kickoffs.
Yeah. So I mean, because in arena football, I believe it's only a 50-yard field. I think it's
I think it's 75.
They're playing, and
a much skinnier field.
Yeah.
The league that I usually watch is the AFL, Arena Football League.
Yeah.
And they literally play in a hockey arena.
Yeah.
A hockey.
There's only like four teams in the Arena Football League now, isn't there?
I thought there was like eight.
I think it's like severely cracked down.
Yeah. There's like indoor football leagues across the states.
Yeah.
I think we even have a couple teams in Canada.
We do.
Now, the big question, in my opinion, obviously this is a wrestling show, so we got to put some of the wrestling aspect into it. What does Vince McMahon do?
There are
at this
four
point?
Teams.
Yeah, I figured there were. So what does Vince McMahon do at that point? He's already got the company formed. He has the investment group. He's got the money. He wants to be a part of a football league. Do you shake hands with the devil in this case and say, you know what, if I can't beat him, I'll join him and invest in this football league?
And shut down the XFL?
And shut down the XFL, because all it is right now is concept and a press conference.
Yeah.
If you invest in this new league, sure, you may take a small hit, but it could come back plentiful with this new football league.
It could.
And plus, they've already got the infrastructure in place. I mean, we mentioned before some of the different investors, like Barstool Sports is involved with this. The people that own Barstool Sports is invested in this football league.
Really?
Peter Thiel's Founders Fund. Jared Allen himself is involved with this league.
Yeah.
Charles King's Ventures is involved. There's a lot of, you know, investors that are into this football league. And of course, we have to mention too, they've already got a partnership with a major television broadcasting company.
Yeah.
They're going to be a part of the CBS Sports Network.
That is insane to me that they already got that deal done.
Yeah.
It really is.
They haven't even
played a game yet.
No.
It's crazy.
They haven't even come close to playing a game yet. It's just
Has the XFL announced who their television is going to be with?
They don't have one.
They don't have one. They're taking it slow.
Wow.
Vince McMahon, this is literally, like, I think one of the things he actually said for the XFL press conference was, in a nutshell...
Watch it be on the WWE Network.
Yeah. That actually wouldn't surprise me. The first XFL, bam, here's the league, here's football.
Yeah.
No planning, no nothing.
It's just that it's in the works.
Now it's in the works, and it really does sound like he's trying to build this league. But all of a sudden, this comes along.
Yeah.
Now does Vince have to rush?
Yeah.
Is Vince going to start rushing a little more because, if he doesn't become an investor?
Well, the thing is, too, now, they've been planning this apparently for years beforehand, and they just never publicly talked about it. Apparently,
the Alliance?
The Alliance. They've apparently been planning this for a couple of years, like more than 2 years. And they kept it under wraps, and apparently, like...
They did a good
job
at
it. And you know what the funny part was? They registered the trademarks for the Alliance of American Football 4 days after the announcement of the XFL.
No way. That was timed. Because I think Dick Ebersol or whoever, was it Charlie? It was Charlie that...
Yeah, it was his son.
It's his son that's his involved son. In this. But Dick Ebersol is part of the
directors. He's still involved with it.
Yeah.
Something told me that Charlie knew. Something's telling me that Charlie knew.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, is this almost like a stab in the back?
I think so.
That's what people are discussing right now.
Because, I mean, XFL is going to debut in 2020. This league's going to debut in 2019.
Yeah, and they're way better planned than the XFL.
Yeah.
And that's not really through the fault of Vince. Vince is like, we're going to do this. We just got to take our time. We just want to let people know what's coming back.
So if we were talking earlier about Vince McMahon investing in this Alliance of American Football, because I'm pretty sure that he knows that they screwed him.
Yeah.
That the Ebersols screwed him. Why would he invest in a league and two guys that screwed him over?
Yeah. It's almost like what Gibby said, bite the bullet.
Yeah.
Do you bite the bullet and
what would be the point though?
I don't know either.
Well, it's not totally out of the norm of Vince McMahon to do that. Remember the stuff with the Ultimate Warrior, obviously going through the wrestling stuff.
Yeah.
You remember the Ultimate Warrior stuff.
Right.
Where Ultimate Warrior screwed him over for many years, and then they were able to make amends, and he's now put in the Hall of Fame. Bruno Sammartino way back when.
Oh, yeah.
Not out of the norm for Vince to do that. But the only thing that I question is Vince loves control over something.
Right.
Like you see it over with WWE, right? He has firm control over the company, and he is going to make sure that company is guided into the right path. Is he going to be the guy that realizes he's not the majority owner in this football league if he's going to invest?
He's not the majority owner in the league yet. Because I feel like if Vince McMahon were to make an investment in the AAF, it'd be to take total control of the company.
But would they give that up to him? I don't think so.
Depends on how much money.
But the thing is, Vince has got $100 million. This sounds like way more than $100 million. Like, this sounds like a $200, $300 million investment. This sounds like three times that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Plus, it's much better planned. Plus, they've got a much better, like, they're talking about the way that they're going to execute their fantasy football leagues. They're talking about low ticket
prices. They're already talking about fantasy football.
They're going to integrate it into the games. Going to have the games broadcasted on their mobile app.
Watch them have a fantasy draft.
That's actually really cool.
Like a fan-selected fantasy draft where they all go on to they release the app, let's say, 2 weeks before this draft is scheduled.
Yeah.
And then they go through, and then they have all six GMs, like the season, like NXT back in the day when it was like an actual televised thing, where they have six GMs all sat in a row, and then they have like a big tablet, and then they look, and then they look at the fans picking.
This is true, by the way.
And then they just kind of...
Really?
Yeah.
And then they just look at everything, and they're just like, okay, sure, sure, fifth pick, crap.
What I want to know is, because when the XFL started, they released all the rules, and one of the rules was a player can't have legal troubles, basically.
Yep.
And
that's also something that's interesting, too.
A player can't have legal troubles.
In the XFL.
Okay.
I don't know if, I don't think that's not a rule yet.
No.
If
it well, they haven't be. Announced that as part of the rules.
No. And then it wasn't really a rule, but the XFL said basically every player is going to stand for the national anthem.
Pretty much.
So that almost rules out Colin Kaepernick and Johnny Manziel for the XFL.
Yeah.
Does Colin go to...
go to the AAF.
Or, yeah. Yeah, they would probably...
If they aren't in the CFL before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a totally different story. So it's just interesting. Like, what is Johnny Football going to take his talents to the AAF?
Yeah.
Type thing.
I could see that happening.
I could see both quarterbacks going.
Yeah, I could see both of them going in. I could see Benzel. I know Vince has talked about Tim Tebow, but he appears to be doing well in his baseball stuff, so I don't think that'll happen.
No.
I mean, well in quotations. You know, the most well-known double-A player in Major League Baseball.
I don't know. Vlad Jr. is up there right now.
Well, currently, after that home run he hit.
Again, totally different
story.
Tim Tebow
did get an invite to spring training, though, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
He got it.
Didn't go though.
Going back to Vince and the XFL, the new one.
Yeah.
Vince and the WWE, as of late, like as of the last couple of years, tend to like to keep things secret.
Yeah.
So all this thing about having the XFL having no plans, I'm not so sure just yet, because they might just not be telling us like most of what's going on.
Well, that's the same thing with the AAF too. The AAF has already announced stuff, and they said that there's more planned away. They're just going to give it out in increments.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like, I'm not saying Vince, like I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Vince is definitely doing some planning right now, and obviously this probably threw a curveball into his plans.
A massive curveball.
I mean, I think we could all agree that he probably did not see this coming.
No.
Unless
none of us did.
I mean, unless does Vince pull something weird where he's been helping Charlie and Dick this whole time with this league?
Yeah,
they'll have a press conference before the beginning of the XF or the AAF, and say that there's been like
the Austin Aries Football League.
Yes,
the championship game, the AAF championship,
like an all-star game
the
or XFL? Something.
No. The champion of the AAF versus the champion of the XFL.
That'd be fun.
Super Bowl, like what they did back in the 60s with the AFL and the NFL.
That could be fun.
Does that happen?
That could be
it
fun.
Just popped into my head.
Is there enough talented football players, though? That's the thing.
Yeah, and it's who's going to be the biggest guy coming out of college who's not and like who like the, a big name coming out of, like does like, Baker Mayfield does Baker Mayfield go to the AAF?
Yeah.
Good luck.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't
does
think
Josh so. Allen go there.
But like I think of it. Remember when Herschel Walker was signed by the USFL back in the 80s and that was like the biggest contract ever like in football history?
Yeah.
Like could we see something like that where
with they, Baker Mayfield?
No, just anybody in a few years.
Right.
You maybe have like let's say you have some version of a Saquon Barkley in the next couple of
years.
Or
a Herschel Walker.
Or a Herschel Walker of that sort.
Yeah.
Do you see that sort of talented player signing this massive contract? Or like in the CFL with the Argonauts way back when.
Yeah, and then they signed not Pinball Clemens, Rocket Ismail.
Yeah, Rocket Ismail.
Yeah, they signed him to the first CFL $1 million contract.
Yeah.
John
Candy owned that league, Wayne Gretzky. Or sorry, not the league, the Argos.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah, like who's going to be the first big star to not go to the NFL?
Kind of goes back to the Monday Night Wars, eh?
Yeah.
But with that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Thank you for coming on to discuss with us the AAF.
It's fun being here.
I know. It's always fun talking football, man, a wrestling show.
Even if it's not a football show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's wrestling involved with it. I mean, at the end of it all, it impacts Vince and how WWE runs.
And every tackle. It could be a wrestling move, I guess.
Every tackle is a spear. Yeah.
All right, with that, we'll take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we got more right here on Wrestling with Ideas on CKDJ 107.9, Ottawa's new music.
The Million-Dollar Man, and you are listening to Wrestling with Ideas. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here because everybody's got a price for the Million-Dollar Man.
Because the Million-Dollar Man always gets his way.
Welcome back inside CKDJ Studios. This is Wrestling with Ideas right here on CKDJ 107.9, Ottawa's new music. I'm the man they call Gibby, Zach McGibbon. Alongside me, the music man, CD Scully, of course, is the show that challenges your thoughts and wrestles with ideas. And that's pretty much going to do it. Usually at this part of the show, we would take your questions, but no questions in this
week. I would like to ask something of you, Gibby.
Okay.
I had sent a tweet out earlier, I think it was yesterday, or a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I'm putting together a blog post on the top 10 big men in wrestling history.
Yeah.
You had said Undertaker.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear what you guys think about that. So, as you guys know from last week, my Twitter handle is CD_TFP.
Yep.
You can also follow the official Fourth Period blog Twitter account.
Yep.
At @fourthperiod_. Mm-hmm. So, I'd like to hear what you guys think. You had said Taker.
Yeah.
That could be
an interesting list that gets put together.
The only criteria for that is they have to be at least 6'7".
Yep.
And they have to weigh at least 300 pounds.
Yeah.
As much as it hurts me to say, any submissions of Hulk Hogan will not be accepted.
Interesting. That's going to be interesting. Well, we'll let the fans pick their favorite big men. And so you heard that there. Give him a follow. Tweet at him. Also tweet at me @RiseGibby. Also follow me on Twitter. That'd be nice too.
Yeah.
Follow me on Twitter as well @WrestlingWIdeas. That's where we will post up show updates, that sort of deal. So follow that Twitter account there. Like us on Facebook, Wrestling with Ideas. Search up us on there. We're almost at 420 likes. So so that's nice. So. Let's do that before 420.
We're almost at WrestleMania with Ideas. Wrestling with Ideas 100.
Yeah, we've got Wrestling with Ideas 100, 2 weeks away. We're at number 98. We're getting ready for 100. We're going to be taking your phone calls. That's going to be April 12th. It's going to be a live show, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here on CKDJ. You can call into the show, 613-750-2535. That's 613-750-CKDJ. And that we will be taking your calls there. That'll be the post-WrestleMania show.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a fun one. That's going to be a fun show and a big show as well. Not of course, the big show.
Who are you bringing on other than me? Because I am happy to announce that I will be.
Yes, you will be involved with the live episode. You know what? Let's announce it here. Let's announce the other guest here. So the other guest that's going to be joining us for this special live show, WWI 100, he is the host of Three in the Key on TSN 1200, And he is a former host of Wrestling With Ideas.
He is the show.
He is the show. He is Will Macklin. He is going to be joining us for that live special edition of Wrestling With Ideas. So we got some big name helping us in terms of talking.
Are we going to get some promo on TSN 1200?
Hopefully. Who knows? That'd be nice. I don't think that'll be the case. He's focused on his basketball show. But hey, let word spread around. Remember to share the episode on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you like to share things. And also keep a like to the show. Also listen back to old episodes of Wrestling With Ideas at wrestlingwithideas.podbean.com. You can listen to old interviews of Jake the Snake Roberts, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, The Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, Rick Steiner, Nick Aldis, the current NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Mick Foley,
Bob Backlund, Teddy Long.
We have a lot of interviews in there, so yeah. Head on through the catalog, head on through there. We got a lot to talk about there, and also some classic pay-per-view reviews and that sort of deal. Also some old-school reviews as well that I did with Marco Rossi, which you can listen back on.
Mean Street.
And the Mean Street Rossi. So until then, guys, have a good one.
You have just listened to the greatest wrestling show on the planet.
If you want to listen to older episodes of the show, including full interviews, make sure you check out Wrestling With Ideas on Podbean and on the Podbean app, or listen to us on our new SoundCloud page. We can also be found on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and many more.
Make sure you keep on tuning in every Thursday at 6 p.m. to Wrestle With Ideas.